Welcome to One More Chapter. I'm Brian Rex Davis, editor of Action Magazine, and I'll be your guide as together we rediscover ancient wisdom for today's challenges. The 20th century playwright George Bernard Shaw famously said about communication, "The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place." Chapter 1, Communication is Vital. It's great to be with you today on our podcast where we curl up with a hot cup of coffee and a great ancient text as we explore the wisdom of the ages, specifically wisdom found in the pages of the Bible, one of the most ancient texts on earth today. Today, we're going to be looking specifically at one of the most ancient texts in the book of Genesis, written by Moses somewhere between the 15th and 13th centuries BC. There is nothing more ancient or covering more ancient topics. Again, why do we study ancient topics if we're looking for wisdom today? Well, ancient wisdom and wisdom in general requires that wide perspective, that wide context. As ancient texts give us the broadest scope of history, then there is something to look at there. That's why we look to older people for wisdom. But deeper than that, we look to the Bible because it claims to be the will of God revealed to mankind. And so we're checking it out. We're seeing what wisdom is there and how useful it can be to our lives today. All of us are aware of the importance of communication in all of our relationships and all of our businesses and all of our schooling. Communication is fundamental to all that we do. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, we see a story of where communication goes awry. Follow along with me if you would like. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" Verse 4, "The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings." Verse 8, "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the woman and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.' And he," God, "said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?'" This is a great ancient story of the very beginning of time where God, our Creator, is interacting with the first man and woman that he created on earth, Adam and Eve. In it, we see an interchange of communication. You will notice at the very end of the story, it depicts God walking in the garden of the cool of the day in the evening hours, as if this was something he regularly did, in fellowship with those he created, with Adam and Eve. And so you can imagine in the cool of the eve, walking with your Creator, asking many questions about how this world works, who we are, what our purpose in life is, and having an open and free communication with your Heavenly Father, our Creator. But that communication was spoiled because another entered the garden and added to communication subtle lies. Lies that refuted what God said, if you touch that tree, if you eat from that tree, you will die, by saying, no, you will not die, but you will gain the wisdom of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, that part was true. The lie was that you will not die. Now, here we're talking about a life and death that is different from just physical life and death. It also entails spiritual life and death. And that's because of the nature by which we are created that we have looked at before in our podcast. We're created with a physical body, but we're also created with a spiritual body. And the death we're talking about here that is immediate is that we will be separated from our Creator. Death actually means separation. Spiritually, our life comes from our Creator, the one who sustains our life. When we sin, when we disobey God, when we do not follow His instructions and walk in self-will, then that relationship, that fellowship we have with our Creator spiritually is broken. It is separated. And if we are separated from our source of life, the result is death, and a spiritual death ensues. Now, we see later in the book of Genesis in chapter 3 where that also entails physical death. We'll look more at that at another time, but right now we want to focus in on what's happening with this communication. You see, good communication happens when we are in good fellowship with whoever we're communicating with. But if that fellowship is broken, if we are separated, then our communication becomes damaged, becomes broken, becomes extremely limited. As I have lived in a number of cultures around the world, one of the cultures I lived in the longest was a people group in Central Africa who really wanted to communicate with the spirit world. In fact, they looked to the dead ancestors for the answers to life. And so their entire religious purpose centered around communicating with the dead, communicating with what they thought was their dead ancestors who loved them and could give them guidance and perhaps do things in as fate works out their destiny. Well, this is called in the wider religious world divination. And it has to do with trying to speak to the spirit world, in this particular case, speaking with the dead. And according to the Bible, anytime man communicates with the spirit world, we're communicating with personal spiritual powers. Think about that. There are many religions on earth who talk about spiritual power as if it's something like electricity, something impersonal, something perhaps that we can gain control of and manipulate for our own purposes, our own needs. But that's not the biblical view. That's not how spiritual power is depicted. In the very story we read together, all spiritual power is personal. That means spiritual powers have a personality. And in our story, we saw two significant personalities. We saw God, our Creator, our benevolent being, taking care of us, nurturing us, walking with us in the cool of the evening, perhaps explaining how life works and how to be truly happy and productive in this life. But the other power who was there and communicating was Satan, an evil spiritual power, one that God created in antiquity, but who chose not to obey or follow God, and today wants to tempt us and lead us through lies and deceit and bad communication into paths of disobedience, paths away from our created purpose. All spiritual personal powers are capable of communication. We are created spiritually, and thus we are capable of communication. Now, I'm not talking about instinctual communication that we see in the animal world. I'm talking about a God quality of communication. When we communicate as human beings, we have the capacity to think about what we are thinking about. That's unique to us. It's unique to mankind on earth. The animal world thinks instinctually, and they communicate with barks or chirps or any number of sounds. But only mankind can think about what we're thinking about and form spiritual thoughts, communicate on a spiritual level. To form ideas and communicate one with another, and of course, communicate with God. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, gives us God's thoughts about those who would communicate with the spiritual world, but not to him as God, but those who seek to communicate with the spirit world, and often to the demonic or the satanic spiritual world. God has an opinion on this. Deuteronomy, again written by Moses, same time period, chapter 18, 9 through 14, says, "When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you," this is talking about the family of Abraham going to the promised land, the land that would become Israel. He says, "When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations." Now, this particular book was written to the Israelites as they were coming out of Egypt. So Abraham's descendants who had been slaves in Egypt, coming out of Egypt in the Exodus, and they're approaching the promised land. And God is warning them, do not try to communicate with the spirit world, the evil spirit world. Says, "You shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of the nations that are currently there." Verse 10, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For those nations which you shall dispossess, listen to those who practice witchcraft and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so." So God is warning his people here that when you want to communicate with the spirit world, you need to communicate with the right spirits. You certainly don't want to get into communication with evil spirits, with demons, with Satan. Those creatures are real, but they have disobeyed God, and their communication will be full of deceit and lies. There's a story in the New Testament of the Bible where it's called The Rich Man and Lazarus, where both of them die. The rich man ends up in torment, and Lazarus, who is a poor beggar, ends up in paradise with Abraham. And the rich man is in torment, and he's looking across the chasm at Abraham and calling out, "Let me go back and warn my brothers. Let me go back and warn my family to change their ways, to be mindful of the commandments of the Lord so that they do not have to come to torment." And unfortunately, that man was given the instruction that, no, if people on earth do not listen to the prophets, if people do not listen to the word of God that has been revealed, then none of the dead will be allowed to come back and communicate. God has given ample communication, all the communication that mankind needs. And so the dead are not allowed to come back and communicate with the living. So for those who practice divination and seek out mediums and spiritists seeking to communicate with the dead, from the teachings of the Bible, that's not possible. So you're seeking to communicate with spirits, but which spirits? And do those spirits have your best interest in mind? Now, whether those evil spirits can communicate back to you or not, the point is clear. The only spirit that you want to communicate with is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, the communication is tainted. It is poisonous. It is full of lies and deceit. It will lead us in a wrong place. With spiritual communication being connected to spiritual powers, we want to be connected to the right one. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, the Apostle Paul, writing around AD 63 to 65, says this, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Here the Apostle Paul is challenging his young apprentice, Timothy, the young evangelist, that he needs to remember the sacred writings that he was taught, and he needs to have full confidence in the inspired word of God. Hence why we are seeking wisdom in ancient texts today, for our challenges as we face them. These ancient texts of the Bible are the very will of God from a good, all-benevolent, all-loving, all-powerful, all-knowing spirit that created us, is God, and what he wants us to know. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, written around AD 55, says, "Now these things, brethren, have I figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other." Paul and the evangelist Apollos were trying to plant the young church in the city of Corinth. It was a global center of commerce, very rough place, full of pagan idolatry. And the young church had gotten caught up in some practices of arrogance, being arrogant one towards another. And they had begun to divide the church according to their favorite personalities, perhaps which preacher was their favorite preacher, or perhaps which Bible teacher was their favorite Bible teacher. And rather than being unified, as Jesus prayed, they were letting that divide them in arrogance. And Paul's solution to that is drawing them back to the very communication from God. God has communicated to us clearly. He has given us everything we need to know. His communication is complete if we will but look into it and respect it as the authoritative word of God. That's what the Bible is. And he said to these individuals, these young Christians, do not go beyond what is written. In other words, the sacred scriptures are the parameters that keep us within the truth, within the will of God. If we go outside of that, then we cannot trust other types of communication. It is the will of God that informs us of God's thinking, of his will for us, of what he wants us to believe, and how he wants us to behave. Now, our communication back to God within his kingdom, and these last few podcasts have been exploring principles of kingdom, the kingdom of God as he reveals himself through that picture, through that big picture, if you will. We've looked at his territory, in other words, those who will to do God's will. He doesn't force anybody to be in his kingdom. We've looked at who sits on the throne, that God is the ruler. Specifically in our period of history, Jesus sits on that throne as God the Son. We've looked at his power represented by the image of a scepter in the scripture. We've looked at his communication form today. We also looked at his law and that his law matters. It's what teaches us how to have a relationship with God in covenant. God always offers a covenant to mankind. And if we study that covenant and agree to participate in that covenant, then good communication is absolutely essential to maintain a healthy covenant relationship with our Creator God. Our communication back to God is done through what we refer to as prayer. Now, prayer is a large topic, and so we're going to tackle that topic in another podcast. But today, I hope the wisdom of good communication being connected to the right spirit, the Spirit of God, is how we need to communicate today. Chapter 2. Our sponsors always graciously provide their materials free of charge for those who are listening to the podcast and perhaps would like to study a certain topic on a deeper level. World Bible School is one of our sponsors, and they have a course called God Has Spoken. And this particular course helps you better understand how God communicates with us today, and that communication is totally trustworthy, dependable, and you have access to it through his word, the Bible. If what I mentioned about prayer interests you and you want to study further and perhaps faster than we get to in the podcast series, then World Bible School also offers a beautiful course on prayer called Lord, Teach Us to Pray. These two resources can be found on www.worldbibleschool.net. Or if you'd like to study online, you can go to www.worldbibleschool.org, where a study helper, a volunteer study helper, will help guide you through your study of God's Word. And Lord Teach Us, or God Has Spoken, rather, is the second course in that study. And so these courses are available to you, and we would encourage you to do that. We also want to invite you to sign up for Action Magazine. Action Magazine is a sponsor of this particular podcast, and we always publish this in paper on a quarterly basis. You can go to www.worldbibleschool.net and register to receive it either in paper in the United States or digitally, and that can be either in the United States or around the globe. We publish our digital Action Magazine once a month by dribbling out smaller chunks of what's in the magazine on a regular basis to keep you encouraged and informed. And so please sign up for Action Magazine. Our particular study on God revealing himself through the big picture of the kingdom of God is a study that we're also putting in print, both in English and soon to be Telugu, and we want to make you aware of that. At the same website, you can go to what is called the World Bible School Library and find the deeper study of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. We call the particular publication God's Big Picture. Just go to the library. Currently, we are releasing these parts in English, and soon we will be releasing them in Telugu, a language in the subcontinent of India. Also, on that same library, we have a thing called the Commentary of the New Testament in Basic English. This is a wonderful resource, especially if you're studying in English and that's your second language. Sometimes, in studying different chapters of the Bible, you want to go a little bit deeper on a specific verse. Well, Bible commentaries are a type of Bible study resource where teachers of the Bible, with great credentials, with great lifetimes of study. They will record their teachings verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and that's a commentary. Now, their writings, of course, are not inspired. They're not the same thing as the Holy Scriptures, but it always helps us to hear from good teachers who can help us understand better particular passages. We have all of the New Testament commentary at World Bible School. We are updating those and releasing those book by book as our commentary in basic English. That's going to be in the library. Our first release is already on there. It's the book of Matthew, and it looks at how the prophecies of the Old Testament are being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And it's quite a wonderful resource, and we wanted to let you know about that and make that available to you. We always, as we say in our chapter 3, value your questions and your comments. We will be looking at these as we go and having certain podcasts where we relate your comments and where we try to answer as best we can your questions. We'll look forward to doing that together. In recap for today, spiritual communication needs to be connected to the right spirit. We want to hear from God Himself. We don't want deceit or lies, and we certainly want to communicate through our prayers to an all-loving, all-powerful God who cares about us. Next time, we're going to be looking at citizenship in the kingdom of God. I'm Brian Rex Davis, and we have been exploring ancient wisdom for today's challenges.